I don't know, Jason. It just seems to me that all my new interactions are just not making me feel like I'm dealing with anything that's particularly smart yet.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of bots out there, conversational experiences. They're going to be winning the Turing test anytime soon, whether it's Alexa or, you know, an action that's supported by Google Home or Google Assistant. I'm still seeing tons of bots that can only handle trigger response type interactions. A question followed by an answer. There's no follow-up questions. There's no multi-turn dialogue. Very, very simple still.
Welcome to our first podcast of 2018. To kick off the new year, we're going to be diving into conversational business. We're going to hear some positive stories about where consumers were with conversational interactions in 2017. And we'll also hear about how well businesses are or aren't positioned to provide better conversational interactions with their customers in the year ahead. So let's get to it. We're going to continue the dialogue that I started at the beginning of this podcast with Jason Brenier, Georgian Partners VP of Strategy. Jason also leads the development of our conversational business investment thesis and works closely with our portfolio companies to integrate natural language processing, machine learning, and artificial intelligence into messaging products and conversational interfaces. Jason has spoken to scores of companies and has helped them understand the business value of thinking about their relationships with their customers and how conversational business can help to improve that. So I know he's got some fantastic insights to share. I'm John Pryle. Welcome to the Impact Podcast. So I want to get your view of what we saw in 2017. I want to find out, get your point of view of what 2018 is going to look like for conversational business. But before we talk about the state of businesses, I think, you know, since conversational business evolved from this consumer world, I'd like to get your state of the consumer world. You know, we got Siri and Google Assistant and Echo and Home, and I've got CarPlay and there's Android Auto. So I'm seeing an explosion out there. But what's your take of what's actually happening out there right now?
Well, I love that conversational experiences are now part of our vocabulary. You know, it's basically understood by everybody. The fact that there's, you know, more than 15 million Echoes out there and 5 million Google Homes, I think has a lot to do with this. You know, we saw this transition from, you know, like chatbots were the big thing at the beginning of the year, and we saw a lot of different uses there. But now more and more, we're seeing speech interfaces and all of these really cool Amazon Echo skills and Google Home actions. And it's just part of an understanding that everyone has.
So I like that shift from what we thought was chatbots. And I was wondering if chatbots are a bubble or not. And I guess we'll get to how far they're going to go. But I do like the thought that speech is really kind of a key interface now. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. And even spending time over the holidays with my nieces and nephews, it's pretty amazing how this kind of mode of interaction is totally second nature to them. And they're showing me a bunch of Google Assistant hacks and even trying to get it to say dirty words and things like that. So even kids have figured this out, right?
So I'll leave the dirty word assessment to you and your family. My view is there's lots of good and lots of bad here. It's funny you talk about your nieces and nephews. I did set up a Google Home for my 90-year-old father just because it's hard for him to dial out on the phone. Now he could just say, okay, Google, call John. At the same time, the ubiquity of it, or any negativity that was going on with that?
I don't think so. I mean, overall, like, it's just easier to reach users and reach more users and a diverse set of users with language and language-based interactions. And there's a lot of friction that I think eliminated due to the fact that this is really a natural and intuitive interface.
And just to expand for a moment beyond speech, is it fair to say that we are seeing an expansion of different types of text-based interfaces as well? I mean, all these apps are vying to be the place that users go to. We've got the oldies, SMS, iMessage, Skype, and of course, we've got Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, and of course, we've got many of the offerings offering more anonymity, Snapchat, Confide, Wickr. I mean, do you see text-based communications expanding as well? Perhaps with more automation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that it's just easier to build a bot. And so people are experimenting more and there's more and more bots available. They're getting smarter. There's a lot of data flowing through them. People are asking the bots lots of questions and they're learning from that. And so, yeah, I think definitely we're going to continue to see some of these experiences getting more and more sophisticated.
I guess that's a great question in terms of my evolution then from consumers to businesses. And we'll just, you know, stay maybe on these devices and think about the evolution of the interactions that's happening. You know, I know that Tide created a skill on the Amazon Echo that I could ask Alexa how to get red wine out of a tablecloth, and I'll get some advice and probably a little marketing message for Tide. How do you see this evolving, where businesses are going to begin to leverage this? Are we slowly getting there? Is it a tsunami yet? Where are we on businesses and these devices?
I think we're just at the beginning. I mean, I have to admit, I was a little disappointed that there weren't more examples of bots and conversational interfaces being used for enterprise businesses. But I think we're beginning to see the adoption. There's some indicators that we're going to have a good year in 2018 with regard to the use of conversation at work or in the workplace. We have Alexa for work now that was announced, so you can manage your conference room settings and your users and the different devices within the office. I think we're seeing more and more bots that are thinking about different ways that the day-to-day can be automated or can be made more and more efficient. And so I'm really hoping in 2018 we'll see more examples of those.
These are good examples from where I'd like to take this conversation. Managing a conference room setting and users and devices, I get that. At the same time, it still seems quite, I guess the word is transactional, or I make a request and I get a response. Where are companies going, or what's missing for companies to kind of take this to the next level and start thinking about longer term transactions versus simpler transactions?
Yeah, well, I think people are beginning to realize that there's some really valuable information that is shared in conversation. And once you get, you know, your users, your customers comfortable with that mode of communication, they often share more than you would expect. And the information that they share is really valuable for making the next conversation easier, you know, continuing the conversation that you already had and kind of anticipating the needs of your users. It's almost like the kind of new version of the CRM that's based not just on, like you said, transactional information, but on preferences and emotions and, you know, different types of behaviors that really wouldn't be captured otherwise.
So this actually takes you down two separate paths, but let's stay on this one for a second, which I like. Companies kind of get it that they need to collect data, but the typical data, and maybe that's in a typical CRM or a marketing automation program, may not be the same data that's being captured through conversational interfaces. Are companies beginning to figure out that there's this much more information that needs to be retained and processed?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you think about, you know, the customer support use case, that type of conversational data has been logged and archived and recorded for a really long time. And I think part of that is regulatory, but part of it also is that people are realizing that there's a lot of value in that data. So we're seeing an increase in the instrumentation of the customer experience and the capture of different types of conversational data. And there's actually some tools out there that make it easier. So if you deploy a bot or some kind of speech-based skill, you have dashbot.io, is a company that allows you to store all of those conversations, all the metadata and the contextual data around those conversations. And it can even analyze them and give you a summary of, you know, whether those interactions have been positive or negative overall, and the types of things that people are asking. So that's the first step, and is really just recording it and having it available. The next step is analyzing it. And the last step, I think, is somehow leveraging it so you can deliver value back to users.
So companies are beginning to figure it out. They're beginning to get on the bandwagon. We're beginning to evolve. So if a company says, I want to get into this space, they've kind of made the decision they're going to move into this, I think it's worthy of a quick recap of technology. As we talked about consumers, I'm happy to hear that speech is working, not happy to hear that businesses aren't quite there yet. But for businesses that want to do something big in 2018, let's just spend a few minutes on the technology. What's your sense of how 2017 was for language tech?
No, it was an awesome year. It is amazing how many different milestones there were and how many breakthroughs there were. So, you know, just with speech recognition, for example, there were various speech recognition error rates that were improved upon. There are various speech recognition milestones that were made.
I probably don't have the exact data, but 94% speech recognition isn't good enough. I'd quit. You got to be at 98 or 99 before I think I have a useful tool. I mean, there is no mediocre. You're either perfect or zero. And are we getting close to perfect?
We're getting close, or we're basically at the level that, you know, humans can understand each other, which is pretty amazing. But I would just say it really depends on the use case. And in some cases, you don't have to understand absolutely everything that was said. You just need to, the system has to get the gist of what was said, or just enough to be able to respond appropriately. In other cases, yeah, you want to understand every single word, and we're not quite there yet, but we're getting very, very close.
So I'm a startup. I've already got my business up and running. We're very fortunate in this particular time that companies can get up and running with a credit card, or they could use AWS or any number of cloud-based services. How about then somebody trying to plug NLP into these services?
Yeah. So there's lots of that is available these days. So Google's Dialogflow makes it really easy to do some natural language understanding and some pretty sophisticated intent parsing. And you can do that for any platform and basically any device. There's some really cool conversational design toolkits that are available as well that allow you to plan out what the dialogues will look like or sound like. So BotMock is a great tool that we've even been using internally at Georgian for that. And then there's a number of NLU kits that are available. Amazon just announced Comprehend, which allows you to extract key phrases, automatically perform topic classification, and even do sentiment analysis. So another recent announcement, really exciting on the speech generation side of things, the text-to-speech synthesis side of things, is Tacotron 2. You can go to Google's website and listen to some of the samples that are generated from this system. I spent a good portion of my career trying to build these types of systems. It's just amazing what this system can do. It can render out of domain words. It can render words even when spelling errors are made. It's sensitive to different punctuation so that if you have a comma or a period, it has appropriate intonation. And it can even do contrastive stress. And so this is really great for anybody who's designing a speech application. You can just type in some words and it can create a very natural and intelligible dialogue.
Very cool. I love that. I love that sounding differently when you get to a comma and then you change tones. That's kind of cool. So I'd like to look ahead and really think about some of the challenges or my view of what companies can be looking for and get you to really get deep on some of these elements. So I'm not much for predictions, and I hate those 1 year later embarrassing look back. So I'm not going to ask you for predictions per se, but I really do want to kind of share with you my thoughts and hear from you what you'd like to see. So my simplistic view of what's happening in the enterprise is we're probably fairly single channel at the moment, and we're fairly transactional versus long running. How are we going to evolve from channels, you know, single channel to multi-channel, and how are we going to get kind of these longer running knowledge things happening? What's it going to take to, are we going to get there this year?
I don't know if we're going to get there this year. I hope that we do, and I believe that it's possible, but we really need to think about building trust with the users before any of that can happen. Wow. So
tell me more. This is cool. Tell me more.
Yeah. So, I mean, we already know that you can reach a large number of users. There's so many millions of people out there already used to messaging and already using the different messaging platforms. But we need to think a little bit more about the actual conversations that we're having with those users. And I think probably the most important thing is to listen to what they're saying. You know, we talked about data earlier, and I really don't think I've seen a lot of examples where people are taking full advantage of that data and really getting a good understanding of what users want to achieve in those conversations. So I think that's really essential for delivering a compelling experience for the users and to make them want to come back and kind of continue the conversation.
to me, if you're going to have a rich application, you kind of need to know the context of what that user is saying. Is that an app thought? Is that something that someone has to build in themselves? Will a customer support program like a Zendesk or a desk.com build context in? Is that going to come through some of the underlying technologies?
Yeah, context is really important. You know, it's one of the principles of conversational business in our white paper. It's one of the things that we ask, you know, all the companies we interact with about, because it allows you to start a conversation with some history, with some understanding of what the user wants to get out of it. It's like building a CRM, right? That allows you to choose the right type of interactions on the right channel with your customers. Without that, you're really having a conversation in a vacuum. You're complete strangers. And that's really strange, especially if you've already had a conversation with your user historically, right? So the more that you can learn about your users, and we talked a little bit about the conversation itself, but it's also, you know, where the conversation took place, what channel, the time of day, all those types of things are really important for having successful conversations.
Makes me think that, and we've heard the term for years now about, you know, companies have built and understand a persona of a user. But as I hear you speak now, that persona is very one-dimensional. And although it's not necessarily static, because as I do more shopping or more searching, it'll figure me out more, it's still pretty one-dimensional and still pretty static. You're looking for a much more real-time contextual model based on what I'm saying, based on what channel I'm saying. This is quite the vision, right?
Yeah. Developing that model of your user or a user segment, I think is really important. Something that I believe can get updated, you know, in real time with every conversation or throughout a conversation that's taking place. But again, the point is to make the next conversation that much easier, that much more valuable.
Wow. So clearly, it's not a matter of thinking about multiple channels today. That's why I now understand a little more about your hesitation of 2018. You could do multi-channels today. We won't do multi-channels well today till we get this model of the users better. You mentioned dialogue flow from Google on any device. How does something like that support building this persona? Is that a part of the puzzle?
Yeah, I think a part of the puzzle, or you know, a component in your stack, really needs to be being able to predict what channel is appropriate and determining where best to and how best to engage with your user. And sometimes that will be proactive. You'll identify an opportunity to reach out with a recommendation or an offer or something like that that will get the conversation going. It will be interesting to your user. But other times, I think you'll have to decide to shut up and really listen to your users and wait for your users to come to you. So those are decisions that you have to be able to make in your platform, just like we do as speakers, knowing when to call someone, knowing when not to call someone.
Exactly. So we get this right, and companies are going to begin to understand when to interact with me. I love the thought about when to wait for me and be a little more quiet. So what's the steps? What should a company start thinking about now? They're ready to go. They sort of have an idea. They know who their consumer is. And now they need to start kind of building their conversational business solution around it. What should they be focusing on first? What do they think about?
Well, we always say, you know, get the conversation going. You can start really, really simple, and that's fine. But just get the conversation going. You'll learn directly from your users about what you need to build, right? Because they'll ask about different things, they'll surface different types of intent. You can't possibly anticipate all of that. So it's important just to start. And, you know, once you have a set of simple dialogues, those can grow. Again, you learn from what the customers are saying and the way that they're interacting with the system, and you can address the kind of long tail of intents over time. But like I said, it's really important to listen to those conversations and have some way of analyzing them and integrating that information back into the system so it gets smarter over time.
I like that. Starting simple, one channel, maybe multi-channel, but it's really the interaction is simple. Learn. And then I love the thought that we're going to just make this more complex by listening. And then we can build those longer running transactions. Maybe pick one solution set. Maybe I'm an airline company and I want to get a reservation made or something, or what a bank might want to do over time. But start small, start simple, and then begin to build.
And I would just say one other thing, always think about what additional value you can provide to customers. What's going to bring them back into the conversation after this conversation, right? What is going to inspire them to continue talking to you and interacting with you? The only way you can do that is if they get something in return for the time that they've spent with the bot or in that conversational experience.
So kind of as we wrap this up, how does a company get to know, or I'll just, how does my bank get to know as much about me as Facebook knows about me today? They should have a lot of value if they know that. How are they going to begin to build that up?
Well, I think they can start with the data that they have about their users, right? That's often very, very informative. But if you really want to have a complete understanding about specific user segments and individual users as well, you should look to other sources of data. Sometimes you can acquire third-party data sets that you can merge with the data that you already have. You can collect information via conversation, as we discussed, but you really have to have kind of a holistic view of all of the pieces of information that will allow you to deliver the most value to your customers.
And it probably wasn't fair for me to even throw Facebook out, because we kind of know that's a bit of a walled garden-ish approach. Now, so they're going to bring, you know, their data, maybe some third-party data together. What do you recommend that they tell me about it? And what control do I have over the data? Because they're talking to me. They're in a different relationship with me than they might have. My perception is they have a different relationship with me now that they're talking to me, so to speak. What do I need as a user to get comfortable? You had mentioned trust earlier. What's it going to take to get me to really be comfortable?
Transparency is essential here. It's really important to be able to articulate the value that the user is going to receive from interacting with the chatbot or through this conversational experience. But it's also important to reveal what information you've used in order to deliver that value. And more, it's important for users to be able to control that information, to revoke access to that information if they're not comfortable with that information being used, or they don't see value in the service that's being delivered. So that's something to be thinking about from the very beginning as you plan out what the interactions are going to look like and what data sources you're going to aggregate together.
Let me just ask you to kind of recap then. I really do think and hope that the explosion we've had in consumer world is going to really take hold in 2018. So let's just kind of recap for you. What do you think is it going to take for a big year?
Yeah, so get the conversation going. Start talking now. Start simple. Don't try to do anything too complex at first. The complexity will come as you learn more about your users. Listen to your users, understand what their needs are and what's going to be valuable to them. If they say something, remember it. Try to have memory about, you know, the conversation you're in and conversations that have taken place historically. Make sure you have that feedback loop going so that the bot can get smarter and smarter with every interaction. And then plan on the conversations evolving, right? So users may be interacting with the chatbot for one set of reasons now, but next week or next quarter, they may be completely different. So just expect that that's going to change over time. And if you develop a strong relationship with your users and you can develop some trust with them, then even though their needs will be different, they'll be comfortable coming back and continuing the conversation.
Terrific. So whether I need to build a skill on Alexa or build a chat bot, I love it. Get started, get going. There isn't any reason to not start to talk to your users as long as you recognize that we're on quite the journey. But I think the end result's going to be very powerful for businesses, and we'll have some very satisfied consumers at the end of the day.
One last thing to reiterate is it's never too early to think about privacy, right? And to really develop a strategy about the different data types that you will combine to better understand your users, but also to give them control over their own data so that they can make decisions about how that data is used.
That is the home run. And I think you talked about trust, you're talking about transparency. I think that wraps it all together. Jason Brandier, thanks for kicking off 2018 with us this year. I look forward to another wonderful year working with you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, John.
The tech is there. Consumers get it. They've already changed their communication habits. So now it's time for businesses to take things to the next level by following some simple steps. One way to start is by visiting georgianpartners.com and checking out all of our materials on conversational business. This includes our CEO's guide, as well as our 9 principles of conversational business. 2018 could be the start of something big for businesses. So stay tuned to future episodes to learn more. For the Impact Podcast, I'm John Pryle. Thanks for listening. If you like what we're doing, we'd appreciate your telling other people about the show. Better yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or write a review. Doing so will really help ensure that more people can find us. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Impact Podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you go to find your podcasts.